And all of God's people said,
Amen.
This morning is our last morning to talk about our Praying Like Jesus series. We recognize, and the disciples recognize, that Jesus was one who prayed, and so they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so he shared with them the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And if you will, I invite you to pray this prayer along with us this morning as we get started. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning we're going to look at the last part of this prayer. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. Jesus is instructing his disciples. He's teaching them to pray. And if you remember last week, he taught them to ask for forgiveness of their sins. Forgive us of our trespasses. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our debts. And it's an important connection because then he's teaching them to pray to not be led into temptation. The evidence of the forgiveness of our sins, the evidence of our true repentance, is our desire to not sin again, our desire to not be led into temptation. And so we pray, lead us not into temptation. So then, which begs the question, well, what is temptation? Chocolate cake? We were talking about all the vegetables that were come from our garden and fresh okra and green beans. And I remember going and visiting my grandparents. My great aunt, my grandma would always have for me a chocolate cake, one of those chocolate pound cakes with the homemade fudge icing. And the cake was made in such a way where the icing would pour over into that little middle center part. I don't know what it was. My brother and I, we'd always fight over who just got to eat that fudge icing. Of course, what's better with cake than ice cream? We can be tempted by ice cream. I recently learned that there's some here that are tempted by, he's laughing here, so you know who it is. Wendy's Frosties are his temptation there. And now they have the chocolate flavor, which is like double temptation there. But I will have to admit, ice cream is my big temptation. If there is ice cream in the house, then I will have a big bowl every night. And I'm not talking about one or two scoops. It's a big bowl, one of the Jethrine Bodine size bowls, where it's like 7 or 8 scoops of ice cream that are in there. It's ridiculous. Of course, my boys would say, no, Dad, it's redonkulous. But those things that may not be quite so bad, cake and ice cream, but if we eat a whole big bowl of it, we probably shouldn't. It leaves us with stomach aches and whatever else would come from it. We're tempted for those things. But if we're looking for more of a Sunday school answer, or more of a spiritual response to this question, what is temptation? It's a solicitation, a request, a call, an offer to do evil, to do bad, to make a wrong choice. We're tempted to gossip, to lust, to steal, to cheat, to lie. Those are some of the things that we face in our temptations. But I want us to look then real quick at James 1:13. James says that when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So if God doesn't tempt us, then why are we praying to God, lead us not into temptation? Some of the confusion here may be because the Greek word for temptation can also be translated testing. So you have to look at the context to know whether they're talking about being tempted, being offered, being called upon, a proposal to do something wrong or evil, or if you're being tested to build our faith, produce a stronger character. Some of the more modern translations in this model prayer, in this Lord's Prayer, instead of the King James Version, "lead us not into temptation," will say, "please God, don't lead us into this time of test, this time of trials." So we know then that God does not tempt us, but he allows us to be tested. Abraham was tested. His faith withstood the test, and he developed a stronger character and a stronger faith. But if we're honest, we would not prefer to be tested. We don't want to go through trials or tribulations. Let's look again at James. James 1, verses 2 and 3. James writes, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." James is telling us, happy when we face a trial or when we're tested. I don't know how many children or youth are happy to show up at school that day and your teacher has presented in front of you a pop quiz or test. It's not a lot of joy there, but in our faith, we know that as we are tested, it develops perseverance. It strengthens our faith as we go through those trials. Many of you know that I love to run. And if I've got a race that I'm training for 4 months down the road, sometimes I'll run a time trial a month or two in my training, or I'll sign up for another race. The reason I do that is to test my fitness, to see if how I'm training is going along with where I need to be at this point if my goal is a certain time. And so then I'll run that time trial or that test race to see how I'm doing, if I'm passing that test, or if I need to work a little harder. In athletics, I know a lot of our football teams, our soccer teams, will have scrimmage games. We'll have practice games where they put the players on the field and they're testing to see how well their teamwork is, if we need to work any more on our offense or our defense. So tests, even though we don't prefer to undergo them, they can be good. So where do these tests and temptations and trials that we face come from? There are some temptations that come from outside sources. If you look at the creation narrative, we know that the serpent tempted Eve by showing where the forbidden fruit was. Some say the serpent was the representative of the devil, which affirms my belief that snakes are evil. And I'm sure this wasn't the exact scenario, but I can't help but to remember an old comedy sketch by Flip Wilson on Johnny Carson's show. If I had time, I'd love to show it. "The devil made me do it." He's talking about, I think it was his wife who comes home with the new dress. "The devil made me buy the new dress." And he asked her, "Why is the devil always making you do stuff? You just said last week the devil made you wreck your car into the church building." "Yes, the devil grabbed the steering wheel and just turned it right into the church building." "Well, why didn't you put on the brake?" "Well, because I was using my foot to try to kick the devil out of the car." I didn't do it as well as Flip Wilson, but I encourage you to watch that. Sometimes the temptations we face do come from outside sources, and it's easy to blame them on the devil and to blame them on those other circumstances we face. But many times, the tests that we face, the trials and the temptations that we undergo are off our own doing. Because of the choices that we've made, we end up facing those. Let's look again at James. We'll read verses 14 and 15 in chapter 1. "But each one is tempted when his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. We can be dragged down, drawn away because of our own evil desires, our own lust, our own bad choices. We know what's right to do. We face with that temptation, but we choose wrong. So what do we need to do as believers to make sure when we face those times of test, those trials and tribulations, that we can withstand them? Well, you may have heard it, and I don't know if I have it backwards as you may have heard this, but the best defense is a good offense. Think about it. If you play baseball, there's no defense against a home run. Bam, it's just right out of the park. Nothing they could do about it. So for us, if we commit ourselves to be the best Christians, to be the strongest we can in our faith, to have a close relationship with God, that is the best way that we can withstand the temptations and trials that we're going to face. First, we need to have the right type of food. At our house, we're constantly telling our boys, if you're choosing to be involved in sports, remember, if you're an athlete, then you need to put the right type of food in your body. And it's not sodas and candy. It's vegetables and milk and juice and those things. Can I get an amen? Did you hear that, boys? Church agrees with us. Owen's shaking his head, no. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If we feed on God's words, remember, how did Jesus pass the temptations in the desert? He used scripture. He used God's word. And he gave it back to the devil. And he withstood the temptation and the test. Also, in addition to food, we need to breathe right. I've had people tell me, as a runner, you need to wear those little breathing strips. You put them on your nose. Do you wear those, Terry? I don't, because they make you look funny. Or you need to breathe in out of your nose on certain steps and strides, and then you need to breathe out on others. But apparently, if you breathe in your nose, it clears the air, it's warmer. All I know is that I always breathe in my mouth and breathe out because I need to get as much oxygen as I can. If you're running as hard as you can, you need as much air as you can, and so you, to do that, for me at least, is breathing in and out of my mouth. As Christians, our connection with God, our spiritual breath, is our prayer life. Folks, I think it's important. We could spend almost the entire year on prayer. That's how important it is. And on Wednesday nights, we've been studying about prayer as well. We talked about a place of prayer, having a place where we can go without distractions, whether it's a pantry, a garage, a barn, or we have a couple friends that even have a prayer room in their house where they can go and spend time with God in prayer. Last week, we talked about the posture of prayer. I recommend it if you don't want to fall asleep, don't lay down when you pray. We also talked about a pattern for prayer this past Wednesday night. Some of y'all may have heard of the ACTS pattern of prayer: acclamation, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. We spend the first part of our prayer acclaiming, adoring, praising God for being our wonderful Creator. Then we take time confessing our sins that we have committed against God in our prayer. Then we give God thanks for all the many blessings. And then at the very end, we pray and we ask for things within our own lives. One of the leaders suggested during that time, he prays for his ministry, he prays for his church, he prays for his family, then he prays for himself. But how often do we begin our prayers, God help me? But if we begin our prayers in a spirit of worship, in a spirit of confession and thanksgiving, it helps us put us in the right framework, in the right spirit and mind. I have a very active personality, and I've shared with you already how much I love to run. And so sometimes it can be difficult for me just to sit down for 30 minutes for devotion. because I stay so busy. And so I've learned over the years that a lot of times my prayer time and my devotion time is when I go out and run. I spend time going over our prayer list. I take time to pray for friends and family and our own needs and things that are going on in our lives. Some of you like to journal. Some suggest it's a great way in your prayer life to keep a prayer journal, to journal, to write down your prayers. By sitting down and writing out your thoughts can sometimes help us put to words, put to paper what we're feeling. But at the same time, we can look back a month later and see all the many times that God has answered, that God has heard those prayers and granted us the request that we had offered, asked. We exercise. Hebrews 2:1 says that we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we may not drift away. Pay attention to what God is telling us. Ephesians 6:13, therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And so we're to have the right type of food or fuel, feasting on the Word of God. We're to breathe in the Spirit in our prayer lives. We're to exercise. We're to put on the armor of God. And we're to fellowship. It's hard to live the Christian life alone. That's why we have joined together in this community of faith, to encourage each other, to fellowship together, to lift each other up, to allow folks to lean on you when they are having a hard time. Again, I'm going to plug as many running illustrations as I can this morning. Running is an individual sport. There's no one who's going to push you along or hold your hand. Whether you run your best time or not, or whether you win, it's all up to you. But there's so many times when I've been running a race or even training in practice and I was ready to give up. But a teammate comes along and shares an encouraging word. Someone from the crowd shouts some encouraging motivations, just enough to keep you going, just that next little bit. And as a community, as the body of Christ, we're there to encourage, to lift each other up. So folks, we're going to be tested. We're going to be tempted. We're going to face trials. But we can withstand those temptations. We can pass those tests if we're prepared, if we do all we can do to strengthen our relationship with God, to be the best Christians that we can be. How does the Lord's Prayer end? Anybody want to shout that out? I know one of y'all is getting ready to be your smart aleck comment. Nobody? Amen? Right, that's an easy one. But if you look at the scripture, if you look in the NIV, in Luke's account 11 and Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer ends by deliver us from evil, or deliver us from the evil one. Somewhere down the line, the prayer that we pray is from the King James translation, which they thought it maybe needed to add a little more of a liturgical ending to the prayer. And so they added, "For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever, ever. Amen." But I would say, you know, the way that it was ended, forgive us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Thank you. Took me a while there. I'm thinking about ice cream. A big bowl when I get home. That can be a fitting ending. In New Testament times, they would have understood forget, deliver us from evil as deliver us from the evil one. So when we pray that prayer, deliver us from the evil one, that prayer is already answered. What's the answer to that prayer? Christ. Through Jesus' death on the cross, offering the forgiveness of our sins, the grace that God extends to us when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, we already have the answer to that prayer. So if when we run this race of life, we've already won. But too many times, knowing that we've already won affects how we run the race. Sometimes we don't train as hard as we should. Sometimes we will face a hill, we'll face a challenge, and we just aren't giving our best effort. But remember that God wants our best. Knowing that we have already won the race, that God has already delivered us from the evil one, out of that grace, out of the thanksgiving in our heart, out of our desire to please our Father in heaven, we want to give our best effort. We want to do all that we can do to run that best race that we can run, to be the best Christians that we can be. We have the opportunity this morning, we continue in our worship through a time of observing the Lord's Supper, our Holy Communion. And it's an opportunity for us to remember that God answered our prayer. God has delivered us from the evil one. And He asked us in turn to remember His Son. We do that this morning through our communion, through the bread and the juice. But we also remember Christ through living out our faith, through helping others who are in need with the shoes, through using the gifts and talents that God has given us to do what God has called us to do. May we be thankful, may we remember, and may we commit to serving this morning through this time of the Lord's Supper. I'm going to ask that the deacons could go ahead and come on down front. And if congregation, while they are coming down, if you can join me in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for all the many ways that You have blessed us. We thank You for the example, the model prayer that You've given us, Lord. There's so many things that we still have to learn from our Savior. There's so many things that You still have to teach us, God. We humbly commit to serving You, to learning each day, to trying to grow in our faith, to do whatever we need to do to be the best Christians that we can be. But most importantly, we thank You for the gift of Your Son. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.